Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Wake Up Jacob radio show, live from the House of Yisrael of Cincinnati at 2330 Kemper Lane. I'm Morey Isha Yisrael, to bring you the word of Yahweh on Wake Up Jacob radio show. And we say shalom to everyone that is tuning in over the internet. For we know the only reason you have tuned in is because of your great fear and your great love toward the mighty Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only redeemer, the only king, and the only savior of Israel and the world. And Yahweh is the one that has ordained me to bring you his word of truth, to wake up Jacob, to restore the tribes of Jacob, and preserve the house of Israel. Tonight, we will be taking your questions. If you want to type them in YouTube or if you want to call us at 720-740-9419, you can do so. We're dealing with your questions tonight. You can type them in your YouTube chat box, or you can type them in your Facebook chat box, or you can call us at 720-740-9419. The questions are open to whatever you need to know about to serve Yahweh, to hear the word of Yahweh, to understand his word, to give you the instruction and the wisdom you need to serve the mighty Yah, so that you aren't confused about anything. So we're taking your questions tonight at 720-740-9419, or you can just type them in the chat streams on YouTube and Facebook. While you figure out what questions you would like to answer, ask, I'll go over some scriptures with you, some scriptures that will show you Yahweh is the only Elohim, the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only King, the only Judge, the only Lawgiver. Very important that we consider that Yahweh is the only Savior, especially in such perilous times, and especially in such trying times where things seem very out of course. Yahweh is the Savior. His ways are the truth, and he is the one that will save us. We have a question on our YouTube. Says, how does a Hebrew couple properly get married in this day and age? I need this information. Very good question. And a Hebrew couple should properly get married the same way a Hebrew couple has gotten married in the past in the Holy Scriptures. I'll show you a couple of examples that will show us how you should become married. The best example to show you would be, of course, what the Most High said, and how the Most High married his people, because marriage is marriage plainly. The way the Creator married his people, which means the way he joined unto his people, is the standard on how you join to one another. And if we go to the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, we'll see the standard on how you join yourself unto someone. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, the 8th verse reads, now when I passed by you and looked upon you, behold, your time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore unto you and entered into a covenant with you, saith Yahweh, and thou became mine. So you got to enter into a covenant and make promises unto each other in this covenant that will join you unto one another through a covenant. Yahweh also says, then I washed you with water. Yes, I thoroughly washed away your blood from you. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered work and shod you with badger skin, and I girded you about with fine linen, and I covered you with silk. So the way the Most High took care of the one he joined unto was by covering them in royal garments. I decked you also with ornaments. He also put ornaments, signs, tokens that we belong to him. And I put bracelets upon your hands and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your forehead and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus thou was decked with gold and silver, and thou and thy clothing was of fine linen and silk and embroidered work. You did eat the flour and the honey and the oil, and you were exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. So the Creator joined unto us by adorning us in jewels, chains, bracelets, and jewels and crowns and earrings. If you look in the book of Genesis, the 24th chapter, you'll see Yahweh's love, Abraham, how he directed his son, Isaac, to become married. In the book of Genesis, the 24th chapter, we'll start reading at verse 19 says, and when she had finished giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. And she hurried and emptied her pitcher unto the trough and ran again unto the well of water to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace to know whether Yahweh had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half of shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bore unto Nahor. She said, moreover, to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head down and worshiped Yahweh and asked. And he said, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of my master Abraham, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, Yahweh led me to this house of my master's brothers. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to meet the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, thus spoke the man unto me, that he came to the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of Yahweh. Why stand ye outside? For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the point here is he gave Rebekah ornaments like Yahweh gave Israel ornaments. And, of course, Rebekah became Isaac's wife. If you even look in the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, see again how our people became married. In Genesis 29, it says in verse 10, And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel, or Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had for her. And Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for the days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast, which means they had a ceremony. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went unto her. So our people would have some kind of ceremony. Our people would give their wife jewels, ornaments, to insignate that they belong to a man. They have a husband. Our people would give dowry, which is what Isaac had his servant do for Rebecca. When you'll see the law let you know in Exodus, the 21st chapter, the 22nd chapter, verse 16. It says, and if a man entices a maid that is not betrothed and lies with her, he shall surely endow her to be his wife. If her father utterly refuse to give him to her, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. So you have to do a dowry even if you lie with her and the father refuses, which he can. But we gave a dowry, which was a gift. We gave dowry. We put jewels on the wife. We had feasts. And it was a happy time. If you read in the book, let me see here. And we're taking your questions tonight on Wake Up Jacob, for this is what our program on Sundays is designed for, to speak to you all, whatever questions you may have, to help you on your way. If you go to the book of Isaiah 61, and we're answering a question about the proper way to get married in Hebrew society. Isaiah 61, verse 10 reads, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Why is that important? Because a bridegroom, which is the groom, the man, and the bride, what are they getting all dressed up for? Because they're about to have a celebration. Look in Isaiah 62 and verse 5. It says, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall you rejoice, so shall your Elohim rejoice over you. So this is rejoicing time. We threw a feast, we rejoiced, we put jewels on our wife, we made a covenant like Yahweh said he did. There were signs to that covenant. And there was somebody there to bless this thing. And who would be the one to bless it? Well, in our own land, we had our priesthood set up, and this is who would bless it. In the book of Genesis, the 29th chapter, it says in verse 34, and she conceived again and bore a son. This time, said, will my husband be joined unto me? For I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name was called Levi. And this is who you want to bless your union, your joining, the one who represents joining, which is Levi. The Levites, the priests, the messengers, the servants of Yahweh. You want them to bless it. They're your counselors. They're your teachers. They're the ones you go to for counsel to hear the word of Yah. Why wouldn't you go and ask them to bless your joining, your union, to speak the word of Yah at your union? That's who you have. All the servants of Yahweh bless their children's marriage because you had to have witnesses. And who better to be a witness than one of the messengers of the Most High? So these are the ways we get married in Israel. You can also read the book of Ruth. Boaz went before the elders and made sure there was witnesses to the joining of their union. So you want to make sure you have the proper acknowledgement of the parents, the father especially. You want to make sure you give a gift to the family. You want to make sure you have a sign of your covenant and make a covenant. And you want to make sure you have a good time and rejoice. But Yahweh said this is a good thing. And have one of the messengers, the servants of Yahweh, bless your union and counsel with them. Because this is what they're here for. Hallelujah. Again, we're taking your questions on Wake Up Jacob today, 720-740-9419 if you want to call to ask, or you could type it in your YouTube stream, chat stream, or your Facebook chat stream. And the next question is, my pastor recently got sick. He now has his son in his place, but he is a Christian pastor. What does Scripture say about this? Well, this is what the Scriptures say about this. In the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the first verse reads, Jeremiah 23, verse 1 reads, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith Yahweh. So he has an issue with pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of his pasture. He says, therefore, thus say Yahweh Elohim of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith Yahweh. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them again into their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith Yahweh. So you don't want any pastor over the congregation of Yah's people who is not a servant of Yahweh. If they're Christian, then by default, they are an idolater. What is a Christian going to tell you about Yahweh? Christians believe in the Christ of the New Testament. They believe that he is either the only begotten Son of the Almighty, a prophet and some kind of angel and anointed divine God that has died for your sins. And this, of course, is absolutely against the law that no man has died for your sins. No man can die for your sins, and no man will die for your sins. As a matter of fact, Moses attempted to die for your sins, and Yahweh told him no. So a Christian pastor is against the word of Yah. A Christian believes, and just let me show you what a Christian believes. This is what a Christian pastor believes. And if you have a pastor over a congregation in Israel that proclaims to be Yah only, yet a Christian pastor is now residing over Yah's holy service, then this is a defilement of the holiness of Yahweh. Let me show you what the Christians teach. Now, if they claim they're Messianic Israelites, then they have to explain why do they follow a book that is completely adverse to the word of Yah. Whether they call themselves a Christian or someone that adheres to Yahushua HaMashiach, however they want to call it, is idolatry. And in the book of Galatians, the New Testament, the fifth chapter, let me show you what Christian doctrine is teaching, and then you can understand why it's so abominable for an idolater to preside over the holy people of Yahweh. Galatians, the fifth chapter, the second verse reads, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you are circumcised, then Christ shall profit you nothing." So why would a Christian pastor even reside over a congregation of Torah-keeping Israelites when their book teaches them that these circumcised people have no skin in the Christ game at all? For he says in verse 3, "I testify unto you again, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." And that's what the Hebrews that serve Yah and Yah only want to do. We want to do the whole law. We don't want to do part of the law. We don't want to do a quarter of the law. We want to do the whole law. And the whole law completely rebukes anything called Christianity. Yahweh never spoke about Christianity. Yahweh never called Christianity. Yahweh never mentioned Christianity or Christ or the Christ of the New Testament or Paul at all, or Peter, or John. He never mentioned any of these people or spoke of them, not one word at all. And Paul is telling you that you're a debtor to do the entire law if you're circumcised. Verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect to you. So you have to ask this Christian pastor, why are you standing before people that you and your doctrine have no effect on? What you teach and what you stand for has no effect on us. We all here are circumcised. We all here are law keepers, the whole law. It says, Christ has came no effect unto you. Of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. You're telling me a Christian pastor is going to teach Hebrews who keep the whole law. What is he going to tell them? He thinks they've fallen from grace. This is Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. He thinks that if you are circumcised, you've fallen from grace. He thinks that if you justified by the law, you're fallen from grace, that Christ is no effect to you. Verse 5 says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. But Yahweh told you to keep the whole law. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and then we'll get to the next question. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and I just finished reading Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. But in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim, his commandments. For this is the whole man. And Paul said, if you fall from grace, you justify by the law, you fall from grace, even though this is the whole man, even though this is the whole conclusion, even though this is the bottom line. Paul teaches that you don't have to do this. And that's the doctrine of Christianity, that the law is done away with. So what is a Christian pastor doing in the house of the Almighty? If he's there, I wouldn't be. I don't want to even risk hearing Yahweh's name in his holy law defiled on the most holy and most important day of the week. That's a complete and utter abomination. The next question we have, hallelujah, is, so when Israelites get married, do we wear, I guess is wear, wedding rings? Can you give me a scripture? Yes, you can wear wedding rings. And the scripture that proves you can wear a wedding ring is in the book of Ezekiel. I read that. And in the book of Genesis, which I read. But I'll read it again. In the book of Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, and I'm saying this is a standard of going into a covenant of marriage. It's what Yahweh did. It's what Isaac did. It's what many of our people did. In Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, verse 8 says, now when I passed you and looked upon you, behold, your time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore unto you,
and entered into a covenant with you, save Yahweh, and thou became mine. When I washed you with water, yes, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from you and anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with embroidered work and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about with fine linen and covered thee with silk. I decked you with ornaments. That's what ornaments are. That's what a ring is. It's a ornament. It's a token of your covenant. But Yahweh, he said, I decked you with ornaments. I put bracelets on your hands, chains on your neck. I put a jewel on your forehead and earrings in your ears and a crown on your head. So you don't have to just give them a ring, which is traditional in today's society. But our people gave rings, bracelets, jewels. We decked them with ornaments. If you look in the book of, just look in the book of Isaiah. I just read this. In the book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter, I believe that's where I read, in Isaiah 61, verse 10, it says, I will greatly rejoice in Yahweh. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, as a bride adores herself with jewels. You can give jewels, ornaments to your spouse. These are tokens of your covenant. And how do we know Yahweh gives tokens of covenants? In Exodus, the 31st chapter, you'll see where it reads in the 12th verse. It says, and Yahweh spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, truly my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh that does sanctify you. So the Sabbath is a sign of our sanctification. Even in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter. And you know, no need to apologize. It's okay if you didn't hear what we read earlier. It's good to ask. That's what we're here for this evening, this night, to answer your questions. You can call us at 720-740-9419. Or you can just put your questions in our YouTube chat stream or Facebook chat stream, and we will get to them as best as possible. In Genesis, the 17th chapter, the verse I want to read is the 10th verse. It reads, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. It shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. So Yahweh gave us signs of our covenant. And we can give signs to our spouses of our covenant. There's no law against it. You never see where Yahweh says, don't wear a ring or a bracelet. And if you want to know what I gave my wives, I gave them a ring, rings as a matter of fact, bracelet, earrings, and chains, like the scriptures state. That's what you adorn your spouse in, jewels and ornaments, because then it would let us know, hey, she belongs to somebody. That's why it said in Genesis, when we read about Isaac and Rebekah in the 24th chapter of Genesis, it says, in verse 30, and it came to pass when he, talking about Laban, saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spoke unto me the man that came to me, and behold, he stood by the camels. And he saw this. He looked at this like, oh, okay. he saw like, oh, this means something. Let's go have a conversation. Let's see what you would like to do. So praise the mighty Yah. We do allow, we do condone the exchanging of ornaments to represent and to signify that you have entered into a covenant that is the only relationship between man and woman that Yahweh approves of in that of that manner. Marriage is a holy relationship. So praise the mighty Yah. If you have any other questions in the time we have, and we have plenty of time, if you have any other questions, you can type them in your YouTube stream line, or you can call us at 720-740-9419. You also can type them in your Facebook chat line if you're on Facebook. But we've had some very good questions so far about marriage and what do you do if a pastor of Christianity is now residing over a Hebrew congregation. And of course, you would have to confront them and see if they have any interest in teaching the truth at all. And once you find out that they don't, because they won't, it's time to depart, as my sister said she did. And then we have another question. Is there another version of the Bible I can read instead of the KJV, which is the King James Version? Yes, you can read. There's all kinds of versions, of course. We at the House of Israel commonly use the King James Version, but we also use a Tanakh, which is the title of the 39 books of the Holy Scriptures that is given by Jewish publications. It's actually called the JPS version, or the Jewish publication system, or something in that manner. And that's translated, that particular type of Tanakhs are translated from what they call the Masoretic text. If you want a small history in scripture translations, before the King James Version, there was a Bible called the Gutenberg Version. I believe it was called Gutenberg. Could be wrong. I haven't spoke about it in a while, but I believe it's the Gutenberg, some in that manner. And you also had what they called the Vulgate, which was the Latin translation of the scriptures, and you had the Masoretic text, which was the so-called Jewish canon of the Holy Scriptures. And the Masoretic text was translated from what they call the Westminster text, which was translated from what they call the Aleppo text. And what are these all? These are just different versions of the Hebrew scriptures. The Aleppo text comes from Syria, from apparently some Hebrews and or Jews in old time Syria, and what you would call prior to the Dark Ages, the Aleppo text, very old translation, which they apparently received from Israel itself. And the Masoretic text is basically the modern translation of this text. It's in Hebrew. And of course, they translated the Hebrew into English, and that's your common day Tanakhs. And then you have various King James versions, New international versions, and you have various versions like this. We at the House of Israel commonly use the King James Version and Tanakh. We also have put out a edited version of the five books of Moses, and we've edited it from the King James, set some things in its proper order, and it's called the Book of Yah, the Law of Moses, and it's available on Amazon.com. So we have various different versions you could read, but this is what the Creator let us know. Since there are so many versions of the scriptures, in Psalms 147, and I've read plenty of them. In Psalms 147, it says in verse 19, He shows His word to Yaakov, or Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Yisrael. He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yah, which is letting you know the Syrians in Aleppo can translate the scriptures. The Grecians, which they call the Septuagint, the Greek Bible, the Septuagint, can translate the scriptures and transliterate the scriptures. The Latins or the Romans, the Italians, whatever you want to call them, they can translate and transliterate the scriptures. The Germans can do it. The Jews can do it. And the British can do it. Who did He do it for? Who did Yahweh allow these books to be translated into the various languages for? He allowed that to happen for Israel. Because when Israel has this book and has the word of Yah, we are the ones that receive the truth and the revelations of it. This is why the Jewish translations and the English translations and the German and Greek and Latin translations all have discrepancies. But when you put this book in the hands of a servant of the Creator, of the bloodline of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then Yahweh will show him and her His word. And from my understanding and from my research, the best translation you can find is the King James Version. The Jewish versions are okay, but they do too much opinionated translation, put too much of what they think it means because of their culture of Talmudic rabbis who have took it upon themselves to insert their opinions and ideologies. The King James Version of the scriptures is, though it has discrepancies, it is the most accurate version I've read from Hebrew to English. And until somebody brings me a scripture more accurate than that, that's the one I utilize. And I'm aware that it has discrepancies. But there are no discrepancies in the word of Yahweh. No matter how much they try to deceive you. But all these versions from our enemies and from the enemies of the Creator, you'll find some issues with. But you have to have the Spirit of Yahweh with you to see it. And the Spirit of Yahweh is with His people. You don't have to go to JC to get it. You just have to call on the Creator. And He will show you what you need to know. Hallelujah. But yeah, there's many translations. And they're coming out with new ones every day and every year. People are reproducing the scriptures to their liking. You have what we use, a lot of us here, we use the a book called The Proper Name Version of the King James Bible. So in the Holy Scriptures, in the so-called Old Testament, we are able to read Yahweh's name. I am currently working on a edited version of the Holy Scriptures for all 39 books. And that's a big project, so I can't tell you when it'll be ready. But Yah's will be ready soon. But we're trying to make sure Yahweh's word, as he has shown us, is set straight, as he said he would do. Set the crooked things straight. Hallelujah. Praise mighty Yah. If you have any other questions, we have a few more minutes to answer them. This is Wake Up Jacob Radio Show. We're doing questions tonight to help you on your way and on your journey of serving the Most High Yahweh, the King of Kings, the Heaven, King of Heaven and Earth, the Elohim of everything. He's the only Savior. I was saying before I started answering questions that though this is a time of peril, and of course, if you watch the news, all they can talk about is military on the streets, the anxiety people are having because of the uprising of the very people that Yahweh has put us under. It's one thing when some angry people march and riot and protest because they killed another black man, because they obviously have a reason to feel this way. It's a whole nother thing when the very people they consider their brothers, their family, because they don't consider us their family, they start doing riotous acts of treason. They're fighting amongst each other. And I want to show you a scripture in the book of 2 Chronicles to show you the power of the Almighty. It's in 2 Chronicles in the first verse of the 20th chapter. And if there are no other questions, I'm going to read this and then we're going to adjourn. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 says, "It came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria. And behold, they are Hazaz on Tamar, which is in Jedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek Yahweh and proclaimed a fast throughout all Yehuda," which is wisdom. "And we of the house of Israel told people years ago that Yahweh has determined evil upon Israel and the world. And we're going to go to the river of Babylon and fast in the rise from the rising of the sun to the going down, and call on Yah for divine intervention." And this is what Jehoshaphat did. Verse 4, "And all Yehuda gathered themselves together to ask help of Yahweh, even out of all the cities of Yehuda. They came to seek Yahweh. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Yehuda and Jerusalem, in the house of Yahweh before the new court, and said, O Yahweh Elohim of our fathers, are not thee Elohim in heaven, and rule not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand you? Are not you our Elohim, who did drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham thy love forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built you a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry to you in our affliction, then thou will hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our Elohim, will you not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that comes against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Yehuda stood before Yahweh with their little ones and their wives and their children. Then upon Yaaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Mathaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of Yahweh in the midst of the congregation. And he said, listen, thou all Yehuda, and thou inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith Yahweh to you, be not afraid by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but Elohim's. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and thou shalt find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Yeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand thou still, and see the salvation of Yahweh with you. O Yehuda and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for Yahweh will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head, his face to the ground. And all Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before Yahweh, worshiping Yahweh. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise Yahweh Elohim of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Yehuda, and thou inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in Yahweh, thy Elohim, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto Yahweh, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise Yahweh, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, Yahweh set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which had come against Yehuda, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Yehuda came forward to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches of the dead bodies and precious jewels, which with they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah. For there they blessed Yahweh. Therefore, the name of this same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. Let Yahweh be magnified. That was a testimony of when a great company came against the children of Yehuda and Jerusalem and Israel. And Yahweh's king that he had appointed over Yehuda sought Yahweh through fasting and afflicting their souls and calling on Yahweh towards his house to save them. And Yahweh told them what to do. Just go to this certain place and you will see my salvation. And when they went there, all they did was just praise Yahweh. And they sang to Yahweh. And as they did this, they saw these armies destroy one another. And what have we witnessed all throughout the news? You're witnessing this nation destroy itself. They are fighting themselves. The Democrats and Republicans, the president coming in, the president going out, the people that have been tormenting us for so long are now turning on each other. And this is the hand of Yahweh. And they will do it until they have destroyed one another. And Yahweh will send his servant, his messenger, his spirit, and he will gather us. And this is at hand, for this is the way of the Creator, our Elohim, Yahweh, who is the only Savior, the only Redeemer, the only King, the only Judge, and the only Lawgiver. Praise be to Yahweh. So don't fret about any of these things. They will continue to topple one another, and you, Israel, will wake up and restore the tribes of Jacob and preserve the house of Israel. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom. We'll be right back.
7, delivered up by temptation. Signs, wonders, wars, a mighty hand stretched out on me. Great terrors, the daughter of the Chaldeans, no longer will be called the lady of kingdoms. The quarantine is time to judge a shape of lies. Departed, return to Yah for the light when the skies are started. Only the wise regarded so many times. The tragedy by the mind departed and circumcised your heart.
Y'all lead us out of Babylon. Please take us from this Babylon. We lead in out of Babylon. Come to lead me in Babylon.
Say, God, who shall divide up in your tabernacle? Who shall prevail ready to go to the hill? The exodus to the service is now being unveiled. Business from all of us falling is like the kill trail. Left behind these nations being sent to like rascals. I see fire in the air like rats making assholes. The man's love on our leaf and love to be confused. The standing out with between and everything I do. The promise broken, chain shattered, no longer murder. The same ones who assist it will be my baby nurses. Praise nurses for the death of my people cursing. The blessing of you so sweet, the almost fantasy person. We were both in captivity, now the truth is winning. Now magnificent work, that's why he's trying to pin it. The rule of this view of judgment is how the mission ended. The saints is marching on home, no instead of descending. Yeah.
Y'all lead us out of Babylon. Please take us from this Babylon. We're leaving out of Babylon.
Real.
Let's walk in the light of God. Return to my house.